Hello everyone, my name is Jinjos, and welcome to my Pokemon anime review series. Last episode, we wrapped up a trilogy of episodes where Ash not only encountered each of the classic Kanto starters, but also captured all three of them, rounding out his total Pokemon team to the standard six. Today we are going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 13, Mystery at the Lighthouse, where the gang will come across a lighthouse, meet Bill, a Pokemon researcher, and encounter a mysterious Pokemon. Before jumping into the episode, our Who's That Pokemon for this episode is Krabby, a crustacean Pokemon with a strong outer shell and two large pincers at the end of each arm. Krabby can be typically found near the edge of water, fresh and salted. It is most commonly found on beaches, where it buries itself in the sand to sleep and for protection. In times of scarce food, it will eat the sand and be very aggressive during this time. It will also create a foam from its mouth to cover itself in order to look larger and scare off opponents. Its Pokemon Red Pokedex entry reads, "Its pincers are not only powerful weapons, they are used for balance when walking sideways." Moving into the episode, our trio is once again lost in the Viridian Forest, but at least there is a nice sunset to look at. We then get a recap from the narrator about Ash's journey so far, recapping that he currently has two badges, the Boulder Badge and the Cascade Badge. Now Misty isn't going to let this slide by, remarking that he only got those two badges because Brock and her sisters felt sorry for him. Brock calms them down, and the narrator directly asks Ash to name all his Pokemon, to which Ash does respond, breaking the fourth wall, of course. While Ash claims he caught all these Pokemon, Misty chimes in again saying that all his Pokemon followed him, which isn't really correct. Pikachu was gifted to him, Pidgeotto, Bulbasaur, and Butterfree were caught traditionally, I would say, and it's only Squirtle and Charmander who voluntarily came with him. Misty just won't let these over-exaggerations go by, and I think that it might have to do with her sisters. In the episode where we met them, they are constantly talking about how amazing they are, how beautiful they are, and they call Misty a runt, not as sensational as they are. Misty didn't seem to have a problem telling them off, and she doesn't with Ash either. Well, all of this eventually boosts Ash's ego, as he wants to prove to them that he can capture a Pokemon on his own, and that he is a very strong trainer. He runs ahead of everyone else and comes across a beautiful beach. He runs into a Krabby, and while he isn't all that impressed by Krabby, he enters a Pokemon battle anyways, though he doesn't send out a Pokemon, but simply grabs a stick and runs towards Krabby in the most overly dramatic use of slow-mo ever. He eventually throws a Pokeball and successfully captures Krabby. While he is boasting success, the Pokeball he just used to capture Krabby disappears from his hand. Misty and Brock show up, and Brock informs him that a trainer can only carry six Pokemon at a time, and that he can switch them out using his Pokedex, a mechanic that seems to be forgotten as the anime goes on. They deduce that Krabby is with Professor Oak, and Ash is worried about him and wants to find a phone to call him. Seems strange, though, that Pokeballs can be transferred across vast distances and switched out by trainers on the fly, but the invention of the cell phone hasn't happened, apparently. Pikachu then spots a lighthouse up ahead, and they set off, hoping for a phone, a place to sleep, and to get directions. It takes them into the night to get there and walk up to a massive door with beautiful illustrations of Pokemon, though, of note, Mewtwo is depicted on this door, and at this time in the anime, he hasn't been cloned yet, so there is a bit of a continuity error there. It takes them into the night to get there and walk up to a massive door with beautiful illustrations of Pokemon, though of note, Mewtwo is depicted on this door, and at this time in the anime, he hasn't been cloned yet, so there's a bit of a continuity error there. They ring the loudest doorbell on this side of the country, and Bill answers over the intercom, who happily lets them in due to some promises from Brock to make some great food. The head on into this absolutely massive and beautiful lighthouse gives off kind of a cathedral look. They locate a phone, which is the shape of a bellsprout, which I find pretty awesome, and call Professor Oak. Of note, Professor Oak remarks that he's cooking up some tofu due to his cook being on vacation, which is exactly what Bill states, that his cook is on vacation. Maybe these cooks are married? I theorized at one point that these cooks are provided to these Pokemon professors by the government. I mean, Pokemon are so prevalent and ingrained into the society that maybe one of the priorities of the government is for Pokemon and humans to coexist peacefully. And through research, through Professor Oak and Bill, they can achieve this. We take a step outside to find Team Rocket's spine on the lighthouse, hoping that it is full of rare Pokemon. Taking a look at their options, it seems they can take the easy way by just walking up to the lighthouse, or they can risk their lives by climbing up the cliff. The risk and excitement of climbing the cliff sends them into a slightly altered version of the Team Rocket motto. To no one in particular, they end their scene on this note. Back at the lighthouse, Bill makes his appearance, showing off his latest Pokemon cosplay outfit, a Kabuto, though he must have measured wrong as his tiny little arms can't reach the release button, which sounds like an absolute nightmare, mind you. Trapped inside something of your own creation? Ash ends up going to push the button, and we meet Bill, a green-haired, pretty eccentric guy, I would say. Bill begins going on a speech about the creation of the Earth, Pokemon that are on this Earth, even turning on a projector that displays all the known Pokemon on the Earth, meaning only the 150 of the Kanto region. I think this is a good example of Nintendo not realizing how big of a success Pokemon was going to be. Bill and Professor Oak must be in communication with other Pokemon professors across different regions, and yet according to Bill, these 150 are the only ones known. Turns out there are 898 total Pokemon as of today, and I'm sure we will eventually see more. Bill highly encourages Ash to keep catching Pokemon, as it's important to Pokemon research. I'm assuming that the Pokeball somehow transferred data to the professors across the region, and every time Ash and other trainers use their Pokedex, it also sends that information back. It's honestly a really cool concept to send out Pokemon trainers for data collecting, because that also gives them opportunities to travel, meet new people, compete in Pokemon battles, explore career paths relating to Pokemon, so on and so forth. Makes me envious, if I'm being honest. Bill eventually tells them about a giant Pokemon who has made his appearance at the lighthouse before, that it's one of the biggest Pokemon he has ever seen, and getting a chance to study it will be a huge breakthrough in his research. Bill tells them that it is the only one of its species, which really isn't true. We learn that it is a Dragonite, and we even get to see a handful of them later on in the series. It's possible he was referring to its size, but I would mark this down as a continuity error as well. Possibly Dragonites were supposed to be more of a legendary creature originally. Now, since the main characters are here, this mysterious Pokemon needs to make its own appearance, of course, and walking through the ocean comes a Dragonite, singing its haunting melody. On the cliff, Team Rocket is enjoying it as well, until Meowth points out what's making that sound. We then get this infamous line from James.
What beautiful music!
It's very haunting, yet so sweet!
Look! It's coming from that thing!
That's a big Pokemon.
So size does matter.
Oh, James, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. They begin to attack Dragonite with a straight-up bazooka. Dragonite begins to attack the lighthouse, Godzilla style, and while Bill is pleading with it to stay, Team Rocket continues to attack, to a point that even James says this.
Do we always have to mess up everyone's plans? Even I think this is rotten!
They are then smacked off the cliff by Dragonite and blast off, making this one of the few episodes where Team Rocket appears, but does not directly interact with the trio. We end the episode with not only the trio feeling motivated to go out there to catch more Pokemon and to raise them right, but Team Rocket's spirits are lifted and they seek out to steal the rarest of Pokemon they can find. The trio and Bill then give us a great The More You Know segment, making statements directly into the camera, right into our very souls. As a Dragonite-shaped cloud drifts in the distance, this is where I will leave you until next time, where we will be going over Season 1, Episode 14, Electric Shock Showdown, where Ash will battle for his next gym badge. See you all in the next episode, and I hope you have a wonderful day.